Hey guys, welcome to the Anchored Hope podcast. I'm Pastor Mike, the lead pastor of Anchored Hope Church, and I hope that while you're listening today to our podcast, you can join us on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at 211 Boone Street. We'd love to have you. We hope that this message is encouraging to you, and we hope that you can also join us at our location at 211 Boone Street. Also, check out our Facebook page and our website, www.anchoredhope.church. We are starting a new series today called Skipping Christmas. And so I have to confess something to you because some of you have already asked me, what is the deal with this series? Well, here's the honest truth. I'm not a huge fan of Christmas. And that may shock some of you, but I really, I kind of dread this time of year. And it kind of comes with the job, and then it also kind of comes with just everything that starts to happen. You see, during this time of the season, it is, just like that video, it is super, super crazy. It is super, super chaotic. Thank you so much. It is super chaotic. I mean, my calendar just gets so filled and booked up with stuff and places where I've got to be. I just texted our babysitter. We have one really great babysitter that we turn to as much as possible that we've just found. It was actually Pastor Carrie's babysitter, and I stole her away from her, and I tried to book her up before Carrie and Wes do. But I just texted her the other night, and I booked her for 5 different parties that I needed her to watch my kids at, plus small group this month. It is a good thing that one of the cars are paid off, because that is about how much I'm about to spend this month on babysitting. Not only that, but I've got my own party to plan. I always have the staff and the leadership team out to our house for an end-of-the-year Christmas party, so I've got my own Christmas party to plan as well. And so I got a lot of different places to be. Somebody the other night, one of our friends said, hey, do you guys want to get together one weekend? We said, no, we can't. There's no way. There's no way it's going to happen, because every Friday and Saturday from here till New Year, we are booked. We are somewhere that we have to be. But not only that, but it seems like this year specifically, there's just a ton going on just in our family and in our life. My sister and her husband, Michael, they just celebrated the birth of their first child on Friday night. Do you guys want to see a picture of her? You guys want to see a picture of her? That's what she looks like. Ah, oh, she's already a diva Davis. I tell you what. But that's Brylan Morrison. So she was born Friday night, and I cannot go see her. I don't have any time to go see her. I will not see her till she's almost a month old now, because I won't be able to. My wife and my kids are going to get to, because next week, also what's going on is my brother-in-law is graduating college from K-State, and his graduation ceremony is next Saturday, but I can't go because I've got the affordable Christmas shop. And so my family is leaving me. And I told Kathleen, you can't leave me. She goes, no, I'm Aunt Kate now. I'm going to go see my new niece, and I'm going to go celebrate my brother graduating college. And I'm like, well, you're going to leave me at least one of the kids, right? No, I'm not leaving you any of the kids. No one's going to miss out. And I'm like, I'm going to miss out. And so we've got that going on. Not only that, but my poor son, he was cursed. He was born on December 23rd, that poor child. Oh, I know, right? He's never going to get to celebrate a birthday, ever. He's done for. So we're trying to plan a party for him amongst all the busyness and all the other stuff. So I got a 2-year-old birthday party that I also have to plan. So there's a lot going on, a lot of chaos, a lot of places to be, a lot of things to be at. But here's the other truth to it as well. And you just don't tune me out, okay? As a pastor, I don't like this season. Now, I know that sounds sacrilegious, but just keep tracking with me. You see, there are 2 times a year where I'm expected to preach on certain things. And if I don't, there's a mutiny. It's Easter and Christmas, okay? Easter, I have to mention the resurrection. Christmas, I have to do a Christmas series. I have to talk about the birth of Jesus. But here's the thing you've got to understand, that the dilemma I've had. I've done this for a lot of years now. There's not really that much material to work with, folks. I mean, if you think about it, there's 5 things to talk about, and they really all have the same conclusion. I mean, one week, you got the shepherds. Another week, you got the wise men. Another week, you got Mary and Joseph. That's it, folks. That's all I got to talk to you about for the next month. I mean, if I wanted to spice it up, I throw Zechariah in there. But that's about it. I mean, what is there to say that hasn't already been said? And so every year, it's like, oh, here it comes. Let me get my Joseph sermon out. You know, let me get my Mary. Yeah, she was a virgin, all of this, you know. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I just can't get into it. And so this year, I thought, you know, October came, and I start planning Christmas, like, in September, October. And so October came, and I'm starting to work on the affordable Christmas shop, and I'm starting to work on my sermon series, and I'm looking at different things. And also, too, we're starting to try to make holiday plans because all of our family's in Topeka and everything. And so I got this idea, and I went to my wife, and I said, hey, I got an idea, and I want you to track with me. What if we skipped Christmas this year? And she said, you can't do that. And I said, what do you mean? I said, well, no, just listen to me. What if we didn't do Christmas? What if I didn't do a Christmas series this year? What if we didn't go see our family this year for Christmas? What if we just stayed here in our pajamas and locked the door and watched Netflix? And she said, you can't do that. And so I slept on the couch that night. But then it bothered her so much, I dropped it. I didn't say another thing about it because I'm like, okay, clearly no one is on my side. And at Thanksgiving, she tattled on me. You know it's bad when your wife tattles on you to her mother-in-law. But we were sitting there at Thanksgiving. Everyone's having a great time. Everyone is happy and cheerful and thankful. And my wife just decides to throw a grenade on the table. And she goes, do you guys know Michael wanted to skip Christmas this year? He didn't want to come see you guys. And she gets up and walks away. Gets up and just leaves the table. And my mother was going, excuse me? And then my dad looked at me, and my dad goes, do you not want to see us anymore? And I said, no, I think she's pregnant because she's crazy, guys. I don't know. You know what? I think I hear one of the kids crying. I'm going to get up and go. But she tattled on me. And my family followed up with me. And they're like, you know you can't do that, right? And I said, yeah, I get it. I know. That's what everybody keeps telling me. You can't do that. You can't skip Christmas. But my response to that question is, why not? Why not? That's my part of my job, is to ask questions. Why not? Why can't we skip Christmas? And so that's kind of what I've been on the journey of discovering for the last, you know, few weeks. Why can't we skip Christmas? And here's what I found. We cannot skip Christmas because we cannot skip over the story, the historical recordings of the birth of Jesus. Christmas cannot be overlooked. It must be looked into because Jesus is Christmas. Christmas is Jesus. But that's the first thought that I really want you to wrestle with this morning. See, here's the thing. We make Christmas about a lot of different things. We make Christmas about songs and parties and music and gifts and places we have to be and traveling and family and friends. But here's the honest truth. You can actually skip over all of that stuff. That stuff's not what makes Christmas. Jesus makes Christmas. So the first question I want you to kind of wrestle with is, have you been skipping over Christmas? Because the truth is that there are a lot of people who think that they're doing Christmas, but they've actually been skipping over Christmas for a long time because they do just skip over the birth of Jesus. And they do just skip over this important season that has a lot of reminders, a lot of things that we need to yearly take in and reevaluate. See, Christmas cannot be skipped over because we have to look into the story of Jesus, because inside this story is a lot that we can unpack and we can apply to our lives. And it's important every single year to do that when this season comes. And so that's what I want to do in this series. I don't want to skip over Christmas. I want to look into Christmas, but I do want to skip over all the other stuff. And I want to look into the story of Jesus and what that story can remind us and we can take from it. And so the first thing I want to talk about this week is that the story of Christmas, it is a great reminder that we have to be ready to go. It is a terrific reminder. And every year we need to remind ourselves that
we have to be ready to go. You know, what amazes me about this story every year when I read it and I look into it is that, honestly, I don't understand how people were surprised by the birth of Jesus. I mean, it really kind of shocked people. And even how it happened shocked people. The fact that Jesus was born to a virgin, that Jesus was born and given the name that he was given. There were so many things that occurred through this story that people were just, wow, dumbfounded by. And I don't understand why, because all throughout the Old Testament, prophets came. God sent prophets and pastors and preachers to come, and they told people basically exactly what was going to happen. I mean, there really wasn't too much mystery to the whole story. Now, I'll give you Isaiah as an example. Isaiah, he said this. He said, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign." This is your sign. Here's your sign. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel." I mean, hello? I mean, Jesus is giving you God's giving you his name, giving you the method of transportation. I mean, pretty much the only question is when? I mean, when Mary got pregnant and she told people, hey, this is what happened, they just said, oh, so you're the one. You know, we knew this was going to happen. It was said by so many prophets so many times, wow, this is what it is. So it must be coming up really soon. But that didn't happen. They were blown away. They were totally caught off guard. They were totally surprised. And there were only actually a few people who were ready to go when it was time to go. And I sometimes wonder, I play this little game with myself as a pastor, and it helps me in my sermon writing. I sometimes play this game, and it helps me in my conscience as well. Is what frustrates me what frustrates God? Because it makes me feel like I can be frustrated too if it frustrates God. And one thing that always frustrates me is when people are not ready to go when we've decided it's time to go. Now, this is one area where my marriage is bulletproof. This is reason 498 why I love my wife. If I tell my wife, honey, if we're going to make the movie, we've got to leave at 5:30. My wife is ready at 5:29. She is not that kind of girl who just loses track of time. Not that all women do. Men do it too. But my wife, nuh-uh, she's on time, ready to go. We are bulletproof. Last night we went to a Christmas party. We showed up 45 minutes early. And that was a mistake. But then we just casually left like cool people and went to Starbucks and came back like we knew what was up. But we are always on time everywhere we go. For us, early is on time. Late is being on time. And so we're always on time everywhere we go. We are ready to go. But we have friends. This is not the case. This is not the story. None of you, none of you would ever do this. But just, you know, those other unchurched people, friends we have. They're always late. They are never ready to go. And I don't understand it. I mean, if we make plans to be at a restaurant at 6 o'clock, hey, we're going to meet at Texas Roadhouse at 6 o'clock. Let's be there at 6 o'clock. All right, ready to go. The Davises will show up at 5:40, and we will have called ahead, and we will not be at the restaurant at 6 o'clock. We will be sat down at 6:02. That's what time we're going to sit down. And we already looked at the menu, by the way, and we know what we want because it's time to eat. We're ready to go. All right, that's how we roll in the Davis household. But we have friends. We'll get there and we'll get sat at 6:02 and we'll get a text. Hey, sorry, just left the house. We'll be there in 30 minutes. How did that, what in the world went through your mind that you didn't understand that when it was time to go, it was time to go? I mean, at 5 o'clock, you got off work and then you went home. And at 5:15, you thought, I need a shower. I'm going to take a shower. And then you got out of the shower. And at 5:30, you thought, I'm going to check my Facebook. And so you sat there and you checked your Facebook. And then at 5:50, you said, where are my shoes? And then you went and got your shoes. And then at 5:55, you left the house and you knew that the restaurant wasn't across the street. And now you're going, you know what? I'm not going to make it. And then you text me that you're not going to be there on time. How did you not know that you needed to leave when you needed to leave? You were not ready to go. And I think that God gets frustrated by the same thing. Because here's what I believe, and I kind of want to just change our thinking together, because I've been thinking about this, and so I want you to think about this with me. How many times in church, even as Christians, some of you have been to church your whole life, and we've heard this for a long time. We've heard a lot of sermons on this, a lot of sermon series on this. I've even talked about this before. But we talk about this concept of waiting on God a lot. I'm just waiting on God. I'm waiting. I'm patiently trying to wait. I'm faithfully trying to wait. Here's the thing. We've got to stop talking like that. That's what I think. I think we've got to stop talking like that. Because here's what I think the truth is. I don't think we ever wait on God. Because I believe that if we believe who God is, then God's timing is perfect. I don't think we're ever waiting on God. I think 99.9% of the time, it's actually God who is waiting on us. But we talk a lot about waiting on God. But I don't think that's true. I think so many times in life, God is preparing something for us. God is planning something for us. And he's actually waiting on us. Because it comes time to go, and he goes, hey, here it is. Here's your opportunity. Here's what I want you to do. I'm speaking it very clearly to you through a scripture verse, through a friend, through a sermon, through your time with me. And I want you to go. It's time to go. Here's what I want you to do. Go. And we go, hold on, God. I got to pray about this. Hold on. I've got to, let me see. Jesus, I wonder what your will is for my life. I'm going to go meet with my small group. I need at least 3 people to concur with me that this is what I'm supposed to do. Now I'm going to go talk to my pastor. I've been thinking about, God's been talking to me about this for about 3 months now, and I can't decide what it is I'm supposed to do. Can you help me out with this? People, here's the thing. If you don't go when it's time to go, God's going to find somebody else who's ready to go. I believe that so many times we actually miss out on opportunities because God says, it's time to go. Here's what I want you to do. I have plans, and here's the great thing about me. I love you so much that I want to include you in on those plans, and I would love it if you would be a part of it and if I could do this through you because it would also elevate your life, but it would also help you help others. And so this is what I want you to do. This is what I created you for. But we sit on our hands and we wait. And we ponder and we pray when God is saying to us, get up off your knees and go do what I've called you to do. We've got to be ready to go because when the time comes to go, we got to go. But so many times we're not ready to go. And I think that this story so much parallels exactly what the shepherds went through. There you go. If you're playing Christmas bingo, go ahead and mark off shepherds. Next week, it's either Mary, Joseph, or the wise men, okay? So whoever gets 3 in a row first, you win a prize. I'm just kidding, okay? But the shepherds, when we look at the story of the shepherds and what happened to them, what's recorded, it's very, very interesting. I think the first thing that's interesting that I just caught this week is in Luke. He records this. Luke was very meticulous when he tells us the Christmas story and what happened. But Luke 2:6, it says this. While they were there, talking about Mary and Joseph, Mary and Joseph had to go for a census and they had to travel to Bethlehem, but it says, while they were there, the time came. Now, I don't think that's there by accident. I think when it says the time came, God knew that this would be the time. But they weren't expecting this. They weren't ready. They didn't even get a hotel booked. Stupid Joseph, typical male. You know, he thought he could just go to the census, check in, check out, and they could get home and have it, you know, the baby born back where they were from. No, the time came, and it was the perfect time. It was the time that it had to be. God said, hey, here we go. It's time to go. This is exactly what I wanted. This is exactly how I wanted it to happen. Now it's here. Let's go. And Mary and Joseph, they responded. They did their part. They had a baby. There wasn't too much for them to do. But the time came. God said, it's time. The time is now. It's ready to go. Game day is here. And so the baby was born. But what happened next is what I find interesting. When God goes to the shepherds with the angels and he needs to have somebody who can start to spread the word and get the news out because they didn't have news. They didn't have Facebook. Nope, Mary couldn't update her post with a cute little baby picture like I could of Brylin. That couldn't happen. People had to go and the news had to be spread and it couldn't wait. It couldn't wait till morning. It couldn't wait till somebody who was more qualified was available. He went to the shepherds. And this is what it says. It says, and there were shepherds living out in the middle of the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all of the people. Go to the next slide. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. There will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Now, I don't know if you've ever questioned this or thought about this, but
why shepherds? Why did God go to shepherds? Why did he use the shepherds to be the bearers of good news that Jesus had been born? I mean, if you think about it for just a minute, if you wanted an important message communicated to the world, you probably would choose somebody who could speak well, correct? You probably could choose somebody who could write the details down and record the story well so that it could be passed on and copied and shared with more people. Let me tell you something. If you don't know anything about shepherds, that doesn't fit the description of a shepherd. I mean, shepherds were dumb. That's what they were. They were dumb dudes with a stick. That's what a shepherd was. I mean, they were illiterate. They didn't talk so good, you know. They're just kind of dumb guys with sticks. So why? Why in the world did God go to these dumb dudes with sticks to be able to be the sharers of the good news that Jesus was born? I think what happened was is they met one qualification. There was just one qualification that needed to be met, and it was this. They were awake. That was it. They were awake. It was nighttime, and it couldn't wait till morning, and these were the only people who were awake at 3 a.m. Because if you think about it, I don't know if you know much about sheep. I'm kind of a sheep expert. It's my job as a shepherd of you. Sheep only sleep 3 to 4 hours. That's it. That would be a terrible job. Think if you had a job where you could only sleep 3 to 4 hours and you had to deal with dumb animals. Terrible, right? They only could sleep 3 to 4 hours. So guess what? They were awake. They were working. They were the only people who were awake. And I think that that's exactly all that God needed. All that God was looking for is somebody who was awake enough to listen. Now, let's apply this to our life, all right? If you're not already ahead of me, all right? Here's where we're going with this, okay? How many times have you disqualified yourself from being used by God? How many times have you known a need that needed to be met, but you thought, I can't do that. I can't teach kids. I can't lead a small group. I can't be on the worship band. I can't feed the homeless. I can't take care of those kids at the affordable Christmas shop. I can't meet that goal. I can't meet that need. I know they need somebody to talk to. I am not the person that can give them counsel or listen to this story. I'm not equipped. I'm not qualified. I can't do this. How many times have you ever disqualified yourself from being used by God? Because you didn't think you had the skill set. Because you didn't think you had the characteristics that were needed. And you told people, you need to go talk to somebody else. You need somebody who's more qualified. You need somebody with a degree. You need somebody who talks good. You need somebody who's smarter than me. You need to go talk to pastor. You need to go talk to somebody else. I'm not the person. God, you're knocking on the wrong door because I am not the person who could lead this, who could organize this, who could give to this, who could make this happen. I'm not the person. You need to skip over me. See, I think there have been a lot of things where God has called us to do something great in the world, something that would make an impact, something that would affect change in the world, something that would further his plans and his mission. And he comes to us and we're not ready. And actually, when he does come to us, we argue with him and we tell him, "You, I am not the person for you. I'm going to have to pray about this. I'm going to have to think about this. I'm going to have to go meet with my small group about this." No, you don't. The fact is that God's here. And here's the reason why you're here, because you're awake. See, I think so many times we think we're not qualified, but I think sometimes the only qualification that God is really looking for is the people who are awake enough to hear. So I think sometimes all God's looking for is the people who have their eyes open to what God is trying to do in the world. Because here's the thing, there are actually fewer and fewer and fewer people who are awake enough and have their eyes open to what God is trying to do and redeem in the world. And there's a lot of work to be done. What did Jesus say? The harvest is great, but the workers are few. That's the problem. And I'm just looking for people who are awake enough that can actually still hear my voice. And for some people, it is down to a whisper, but they can still hear my voice. And I am looking for people who are ready to go, who are awake enough to hear, who can come and join me on my mission in redeeming the world. But too many times, we disqualify ourselves and we doubt ourselves.
And here's the thing that somebody in this room needs to hear is that when you doubt, you miss out. If you doubt yourself and you say, that's not me, I can't do that, I'm not qualified, who says you're disqualified? That's a lie that you believe. You know what the thing is that we've probably never talked about? Is there's nothing in here that says that the shepherds were even Christians. The shepherds, we don't even know if they were followers of God. They may have been the worst sinners on the planet. And God still used him in his story of his son to redeem the world and change the world. And here we are thousands of years later, still talking about them and the impact that they had on the world. Your past, your mistakes, your present circumstances do not disqualify you from being used by God. That's a lie from Satan. That's a lie that you've believed too many times, and you have missed out on life-giving, rewarding experiences because you have been the one that has disqualified yourself, and you have been the one that have put the brakes on God's plans. You can't do that to yourself. You cannot disqualify yourself. You've got to be ready to go, and you've got to respond because when God says go, that means it's time to go. Don't disqualify yourself from being used by him because he is only looking for people who are awake. He's looking for people who are willing to listen and who are willing to move. And that's exactly what the shepherds did. When we look at the shepherds, the rest of the story in Luke, this is what it tells us. It says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go. Let's go. It's time to go. Do you hear that? It's time to go. That's what the angel said. We got to go. This is what we're supposed to do. We got to go. Let's go. And so they went to Bethlehem to see this thing that had happened, which the Lord had told them about. And it says they hurried off. They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. I love that. Not only were they ready to go, but it says that they hurried off. You know, I think that can't be skipped if you were going to be practical about this verse. It says, they said, we got to go. It's time. God says, we got to go. We got to go. And it says they hurried off. Okay, here's my question. What happened to the sheep? What happened? Y'all had a job to do. You had one job. What happened to the sheep? Let me tell you, I know exactly what happened to the sheep. Nobody knows what happened to the sheep. They're gone. Those sheep are dead. Those sheep are gone. They left. Because here's what I think. They left the sheep. They did. They left them. They hurried off. They said, forget you, sheep. I'm out of here. These sheepish things are left behind. I'm going. And they did. They left their sheep. You know why they left their sheep? Because this was so important to them. This was more important to them. This was a bigger responsibility, a more important responsibility than even the responsibility that they had. And so you know what they did? They sacrificed their sheep. And that's their livelihood. That was their job. If you think about it, they left money when they did that. They left their investment. They left their careers when they did that. See, here's the thing. When God calls you, it's time to go. But you know what that also means? That also means you might be having to be willing to leave something behind. What are you willing to leave behind? Are you willing to invest in what God is doing when he says it's time to go? Are you willing to leave money behind? Are you willing to leave material possessions behind? I'm dead serious. Are you willing to quit your job if God calls you to something else? People don't know this about me. I was going to be a physical therapist. Did you know that? Just picture me as a physical. You can see it. I mean, think polo, you know, a little bit skinnier, khakis. I could look like a physical therapist, right? I was headed to be a physical therapist. And God called me to be a pastor. I didn't want this job. I didn't choose the job. The job chose me, okay? I was called to be a pastor, though, but I had plans. I was going to go to Southeast Missouri State, and I was going to be a physical therapist. That's what I wanted to do with my life. But God called me to be a pastor. I left that dream behind. My dad, he was going to school to be an architect. My dad was going to be a good architect. He was a great artist. He has all these drawings of buildings that he drew, that he was designing. He left his job, his
future career of being a architect, to be a pastor. Are you willing to leave your job if God calls you to do something else? If it means God, you're going to have to make less money to be able to fulfill something that God wants you to fulfill, to have the hours that you need, to have the flexibility you need to fulfill what God wants you to fulfill, are you ready to go? Are you ready to do that? Are you willing to leave money behind? Are you willing to cancel parties? Are you willing to give to the affordable Christmas shop and maybe have a smaller Christmas? What are you willing to do? Because here's the thing, when God calls you to something, it's time to go. And if you aren't willing to go, and if you aren't willing to go all in, I mean all in, here's all my chips, let's do this, all my cards on the table. If you aren't willing to do it, you will not get the full experience that God wants to give you. When God says go, we've got to be willing to go, but we've got to be willing to go all in. And we've got to be willing to leave things behind. We've got to be willing to leave things in the past. We've got to be willing to move forward and let go of what we have to take hold of what he wants to give us. A couple years ago, 3 years ago, Thanksgiving, we spent Thanksgiving in Colorado. Kate's family, they love to ski. They love skiing. And so I've never skied before, but I went down a hill on a trash can lid once. It was epic. You should have been there. It was a big deal. But Kate's family, they ski. They have all the special coats, special pants, special goggles and stuff. And so for Christmas 3 years ago, that's what they got me, ski gear, all these ski paraphernalia and stuff. And Thanksgiving, they said, we're going to go skiing. We want to take you skiing. We all ski. So they got this big cabin. Kate's got this big family of like 30 people. It's like a little cult, the winter cult. And with the winter cult, we all met up there in the cabin. You guys got to laugh more. I'm just going to keep preaching longer, okay? I'm telling you, I just got a lot of energy. But we met up there, and we're going to go skiing. And so we went out there, and they got my skis, got me all sized up and everything and all this stuff. And I'm a very technical person. I like directions. I'm not that guy on the thing. Like, give me directions. I'll follow them to a T. I like instructions. That's just the type of person I am. And so I started asking questions. How do I ski? Tell me how to ski. I said, you don't need to know that. You don't need to know, you know. And so they're like, you need to warm up a little bit. We'll warm you up. And so they took me to this class. It was me and a bunch of four-year-olds. And they're like, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to lean forward and we're going to go. And so it's me and all these kids. And all these kids are like, okay, go. And I was like, But I did a couple things and stuff. But here's the thing. Like, even in the warm-up area with the little hills and stuff, I couldn't stop. I could not stop. And I asked my family, I said, how do you stop? Oh, don't worry about it. You're good. You don't need to stop. No, I need to know how to stop. They go, oh, you'll slow down and you'll just glide. You'll just coast. You'll be fine. Okay. And so they got me on the lift. We went on the lift. And, the lift, your legs are hanging out and stuff. And, again, I don't know what to do, but we get to the end of the lift, and I'm enjoying it. Like, I'm enjoying the view. I'm hugging the pole. And I'm like, oh, this is beautiful and great. And then all of a sudden I hear somebody say, jump. 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 What? Jump. And we got to the end of it, and they all, it comes to a point, and you just got to jump, and then you got to get out of the way, or the thing will, the thing keeps moving up the mountain. And so they all jump, super smooth, sexy. It was great. And then they said, jump. And I said, what? What are you guys talking about? Jump, jump. They're like, jump, jump, jump. And so I jumped down, and then the lift hit me in the head, and then I fell, and then I rolled out, and then I fell out of my skis, and then I was on the ground. And they're like, man, this is going to be interesting. And so I got back up, I got locked in my skis, and they're like, hey, remember, lean forward, see you at the bottom. And there all went to winners. Gone, away, down the hill. And I'm going, down the hill, where are we all going? And so I was by myself. And I thought, what in the world am I going to do? And so I would kind of bend at the knees, and I'd start to go, and then I couldn't stop. And then, there were these piles of snow. And so I just kind of leaned to the pile of snow. And I ran into a pile of snow. And I got back up. I dusted myself off. I said, there's another pile of snow about 20 feet away. And I'm going to get to it. And so I hit another pile of snow. And I just kind of did this down the mountain. Hit a pile of snow. Hit a tree. Fall out of my skis. Get there. And so then that's how I tumbled down the mountain. And so you get to this last part, and there's this big hill, big hill, very steep. Everybody ends down, and at below is like the little village with all the shops and stuff and a lot of people. And I look down, and there's like 100 people down there, and all I saw were victims. And I thought, Lord, there's no pile of snow to hit. There's only people. What do I do? And so what I did was I just kind of, I laid down the hill, and I just kind of scooted my bottom down the hill, just little by little, and I just kind of pushed my body down the hill as much as I could. And at this point, the four-year-olds I was in class with, they're passing me. And they're going, move out of the way, stupid head. And I'm like, I can't, leave me alone. And I'm just scooting down. And then Kate actually comes by and she's like, what are you doing? And I was like, this is where we started to fight as a couple. I'm like, I can't believe you left me. I'm so mad at you. Why did you talk me into doing this? And so I just scooted my bottom down. I look like a fool in front of everybody. I scooted my bottom down, went to the bottom of the hill. I found a bus. I got on the bus and I went back to the cabin and I was furious. I was like, this is awful. I don't want to do this anymore. This is stupid. Everybody came back that night. Everybody was talking to me and everything and asking me what in the world happened to me and calling me, my brother-in-laws were calling me names and different things. I was very embarrassed. And so I went to bed early that night, and I thought, tomorrow is a new day. Tomorrow, this is not going to be the story I tell, because one day this is going to be a great sermon illustration. And so I'm going to take this hill, man. I'm going to go all out. So the next day, you know, my father-in-law, God love him. I do, but he's a teacher at heart. And so my father-in-law goes, why don't you go with me, Michael? And I'm like, oh, geez, now my father-in-law thinks he's going to like, this is like playing, you know, learning how to play catch with your father-in-law. This isn't cool, you know? And so I went up there to my father-in-law, and I'm like, I'm not doing this. I'm not getting ski lessons from my father-in-law. And so I just, you know, again, what they said, just lean forward. And I just said, I'm just going to go. I'm just going to go, and I'm not going to stop. I'm just going to go. I'm going full board. And so I did. We got out of there, and before my father-in-law could even give me a tip, I was, and here we went, man, and I didn't stop. I didn't know how to slow down or nothing, and I just speed demon down that hill, man. I was just, all I just knew what I had seen on TV. Make this with my body, and I can hold this all day. So I just puckered my cheeks together. I squeezed my legs. I mean, my arms were as tight as could be, and I was just like this. And I mean, I was going so fast, like my face was doing, you know, every hill I was hitting, and I was just, I wasn't doing anything with this. I was, and I went, I was just doing all kinds of things, and I was just puckering my butt as tight as I could, and I was just holding on to that hill. And then finally, I got to the part where you went straight down, and I just said, I'm just doing it. And I just went straight down, and I said, look out! And I just held on as tight as I could. People were getting out of the way, and I went, and I kept just sliding, and in that little village there was a Starbucks, and somebody opened the door, and just as they opened the door, here I came sliding in, and then suddenly I just stopped, and I stood up, and one of the guys goes, that was the coolest thing I'd ever seen, and I said, yeah, I know, that's pretty cool, I planned it that way. And I got a coffee, and I sat down shaking with my arm. And my family all came. My family saw me. I passed them. My family saw them. They go, that looked like Michael. And they go, that can't be Michael. But it was Michael. And they all met me at the bottom. My brother-in-laws and my wife, they're like, that was the sexiest thing I'd ever seen from you. That was so cool. My father-in-law was proud of me. I mean, that's all anybody talked about. And then I went, and I got back on the bus, and I went back. And I iced my knees, and my butt was so tight, and everything hurt, but I did it. And here's the thing, when God calls you to do something, you gotta be ready to go. And when he calls you into it, here's the thing, you gotta lean into it. You gotta lean into it hard. And it might be the scariest thing that you've ever done. It might be something that freaks you out so bad, and it's going to be fast, and it's going to be rough, and it's going to go by so quick. But let me tell you something. If you don't lean into it, if you try to just take it inch by inch, if you just try to run and to pile and try to stop and try to slow it down. Look, God is not about slowing anything down. God's got a mission that he's trying to get done. And so you've got to lean into God's plans for your life or you're going to miss out. He wants to make you into who you were created to be. He wants to bless you and he wants to give you everything that he's had in store for you. And he doesn't want to give it to somebody else. He's chosen you for a reason, but you've got to be ready to go and you've got to be willing to leave everything behind and you've got to be willing to lean forward and just enjoy the ride because there is no stopping and there is no taking it step by step. You've got to be willing to go and you got to be willing to lean into it hard. That's what God wants to do in your life, but it's really up to you. You've got to be willing to lean into it because if you doubt yourself, if you try to slow it down, you're going to miss out. You're not going to enjoy the experience. It's going to be something that you're trying to feel like you're trying to force. You don't have to force it. You just got to lean into it. Just lean in to what God is trying to do in your life. I feel like Christmas is a reminder that God is still doing that. I'm going to invite the band to come back up and we're going to end by worshiping because this morning I feel like what we need to do is just that. I feel like we need to lean into God. We need to lean forward because there are things that God wants to do through our church in our community. There are things God wants to do in your family and through you, in your job, in your work, through your friends, through your family, this Christmas season and beyond. This next year, 2019, God's looking for people who are awake. He's not looking for people who are qualified. He's not looking for people who can speak. He's not looking for people with the right characteristics. He's just looking for people who can hear his voice. And then here's the thing, God will come alongside of you and he will equip you and he will give you everything that you need in order to accomplish that task. He has done it time and time again in the Bible, in life, in history, through my life. I've never felt qualified for this job. I've never felt qualified for what God has called me to do, but I've leaned into what he wanted to do in my life. And that's what God's calling you to do. Are you awake? Are you listening? When he speaks, it's time to go. You've got to be ready to go. That's my prayer for you right now, today, and beyond in this next year, that when God calls you, when God shows up, that you are ready to go. Will you guys stand with me? I want to pray for you this morning. And I want to pray for you because I know that some of us this morning, what we need is we need to leave our security behind. We've got something that we're tethered to, something that's keeping us from being all in. And God is calling us, but we're not willing to let go. This morning, some of us, we need to pray to let go, to receive what God is doing. For others of us, what we need to do this morning is we need to stop messing around. We need to stop praying about it. We need to stop wondering about it. We need to stop seeking counsel about it. We just need to go. We need to do what God has called us to do. And others of us this morning, we're not even followers of Jesus. And that's okay. Because let me tell you something, I don't think some of the shepherds were too, but Jesus used them anyway. And I want you to know, no matter what you've done in this world, in your past, in your life, in your current circumstances, God can use you. God can do something amazing through your life. So this morning, I just want us to pray if everybody would bow their heads and close their eyes this morning. God, this morning, some of us, we don't even have a relationship with you. And God, this morning, if that's you this morning, if you are keeping yourself from God, if you've chosen not to follow him yet, I want to give you an opportunity to do that just through one simple prayer. It's very easy. All you have to pray this morning is, Jesus, I give you my life. Right now, this morning, if that's you, if you are holding back, if you feel anchored down, if you are ready to receive the life that God has for you, if you want to become who he created you to be, if you want to receive everything he has for you, all you have to pray this morning is, Jesus, I give you my life. God, this morning, we give you our life. God, this morning, you have found us in the middle of the field, and you've come to us, and you've called us to something greater than ourselves. You've called us to do something that we've never imagined we could ever do. to be part of something bigger than ourselves, to give something that we've never thought we'd be able to give. But God, this morning, it is scary. It is scary following you. It's scary being used by you. It's scary answering that call. But God, this morning, we are leaning forward into what you are doing. We are leaning forward and we are answering the call and we are ready to go. It's time to go. It's time to go. We are ready to go. And so God, without hesitation, we answer your call this morning. God, will you give us the courage to do that? Will you help us for whatever's coming next, whatever it is, whatever challenge you may present to us? God, would you help us be ready to go and to lean forward into your plans, into your mission, into what it is you want to do through our life? God, we pray these things in your name. Amen. This morning, let's worship God because he is a God of miracles. He is a God who is calling us to something incredible. So let's this morning claim that and worship his name today.
Thank you so much for joining us on our podcast today. We hope that you can make it to one of our Sunday morning experiences at 211 Boone Street at 10 a.m. Don't forget to check out our website, www.anchoredhope.church. You can also give online very easily and conveniently. We'd love to have your support on our mission to lead people to a growing relationship with Jesus.